Good Monday morning to you. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Joanne, and it is now the 15th day of March. I think we're halfway through the month, 2021. I want to welcome you, as I said, to just a time of soaking in the word of the Lord and what he gave me early this morning. I was acting on a message that I heard last night about resting, and oftentimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll just start my day early, and oftentimes I'm hearing the Lord in the early morning hours. But through the night last night, as I woke up, I thought, no, I'm going to obey the command to rest. And so when I woke up the next time, the Lord had something that he was saying, and I thought, okay, I'm going to rest a little more. And when I woke up again, the Lord had something else he was saying. So I finally got up and I grabbed my pen and my notebook, and I started writing down what I was hearing. And this is the direction the Lord wanted me to go in today, and it has to do with the fire of God and what the Lord said in the dark hours of the morning as I was halfway waking up. He said that the fire will ignite everything that's around it. And he's talking about us. When we are burning and blazing with the fire of God, we actually set everything around us on fire as well. Because fire, it consumes, you know, it draws things to it. Fire spreads. And God wants his people to be full of the fire of the Holy Spirit. So that's the direction that we are going in tonight. If you ever think about seeing your brothers and sisters that are burning just on fire, it increases your faith and it makes you want it too. I mean, it makes you aware, oh my goodness, someone is just really burning right now with the Lord. And what do I need to do? What do I need to adjust in my life to get that or to get back to that? Oftentimes we can look back and say, okay, I can remember a time that I was burning with more fire than I am right now. But now that I'm seeing someone else burn, now I want to go further in my relationship with God. I know that I've hit times in my relationship with God. It's like, Lord, I feel like I'm doing all that I can do. It's like, what more can I lay down, you know, just to burn more for you? And, you know, that consistency in our relationship with Jesus is where the fire often will come from. So point number one, our relationship with Jesus, because he has eyes that are a flame of fire. He is fire himself. He's the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and fire. Maintain that connection with Jesus. But this other one is super, super important. It's getting around others who are carrying the fire of the Holy Spirit. People who are filled up with the Holy Spirit, you get around them and that fire is going to get on you as well. Because fire consumes, right? It's the thing that the Lord was saying early in the morning. If you're on fire for God, it is going to spread to those around you. So if you're needing rekindled, get around some people who are walking in the fire of the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about Jesus. You know, how does he feel about his church that isn't carrying the fire of the Holy Spirit? We read about this in Revelation chapter 3, and it's the letter to Laodicea, where he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, one or the other. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit or spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And this is what he says to do. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may truly be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And then he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And I believe it's even in the New Living Translation, which I'm just made aware that this did not come up in the NLT. It says, if you're indifferent. And I like that because a lot of times our lukewarmness or our lack of fire is evidence of indifference. in our life, indifference towards Jesus, indifference towards the Holy Spirit, indifference towards the things that are on God's heart, you know, just going through the motions. And God's not pleased with that. He doesn't want his church to be apathetic, indifferent, or, you know, bored. Okay. He wants us burning with the fire of the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of our job. You know, there's some things that we have to maintain in our Christian life, connecting up with Jesus and being with people who are filled with the fire. Oh, boy, what a weekend I had. Quite a weekend. I mentioned probably last Friday that I was involved with a recharge conference for youth, you know, third through eighth graders, and that was on Saturday. I spent 6-7 hours there at the church and had 6 sixth grade girls, which was really neat because they were in pairs. Each one had a buddy. So I had 3 sets of 2, and that worked out really neat for them. We had a wonderful time in worship. The messages were wonderful. The activities and the fellowship. It was just all a really good experience. One of the highlights of my day was praying at the altar with 3 students. 2 were younger and then a young man who wasn't in my group, and they wanted to receive Jesus. Oh my gosh. So, I mean, just going back from that place and just worshiping the Lord, you know, for those who are ready to receive, you know, ready to make Jesus the Lord of their life and doing that. So praise God for that. He's worthy of praise. And so, it was a great day Saturday. I mean, there might have been one blip in the day, but came home, went to bed, and I woke up Sunday morning and I felt like I had been hit by a Mack truck. I hurt from head to foot. I mean, my joints, I had trouble walking. I had trouble moving. I thought, what in the world has happened? I had a headache that was so bad, I was almost nauseous. I mean, when you drink coffee and it doesn't even taste good and you feel like your stomach is just turning over, it's like, what in the world happened? So I just, sometimes you got to listen to your body, and I knew it was time to push the pause button. I didn't go to church. I just rested for the most part on Sunday. But then every Sunday evening, I like to go to another place, you know, where fiery believers are. And it's kind of a drive. So it's a sacrifice for me to go. But here, the Lord woke me up in the afternoon about the time to get ready. And man, I just didn't know if I could do it. And so with tears in my eyes, I prayed and I asked for the Holy Spirit's help. It's like, man, I just really need your help. And I kind of felt like if I didn't go, I was really doing the wrong thing. So I got up and got ready and dried my eyes and I took off and went. And oh my goodness, I encountered the Lord. I encountered the Lord in such a fiery way last night. I was in worship and I saw a vision of a coal that had become that ashen gray black. The reason I think the Lord spoke to me this way is we just had a cold spell in February when the temperatures were zero, wind chill was below zero. And so my husband and I, we burned a lot of fire in the fireplace. And, you know, you wake up in the morning and if there's any coals left, you kind of put them in a fire. And sometimes the coals that are left, they might be orange like an ember. Some of them might be kind of gray black. You put them all in a pile. And you take the bellows and you start pumping air onto them. And you wouldn't believe some of the ones that were kind of black on the outside, they actually had fire on the inside. And as I would pump the air upon them, blow that air, that black coal would become bright orange all the way to the outside. And then pretty soon, here came a flame. You know, all of a sudden it was ignited and there was a fire. And I got to put, you know, fresh wood or new wood on that and then have the fire going all over again. So last night in worship, it was like I was seeing this black coal, and then all of a sudden I felt the wind of the Lord blow on me, and pretty soon it was this bright orange ember, and the fire just rose up. It was incredibly powerful vision and encounter to see the Lord, and of course the worship was just amazing. The message was just incredible. I'm so glad I went. I would have missed out. And the neat thing was, in spite of how bad my body felt, the Lord totally renewed me. A friend prayed for me right at the beginning, and I mean, it's just like all of that was just knocked off of me. My body, my flesh was totally renewed. So this is our God, okay? I mean, He can renew us in our spirit, our emotions, in our mind. He can renew us in our body. And so I want to give Him praise for that. His fire is powerful. I found something really neat today in Jeremiah chapter 23. About fiery messages, because you know that the messages that we hear are meant to carry the fire, the presence and the power of God. This begins in verse 28, where it says, "Let my true messengers faithfully proclaim my every word." There's a difference between straw and grain. You know why? Because one will ignite. All right, "Does not my word burn like a fire, says the Lord? And is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces?" You know, I believe the messages that we bring in church, especially in this season, we need to be hearing God, because there needs to be a fire and a power on it that actually ignites people as they listen to it. One of the songs today was Corey Asbury, "The Father's House." And you think about it, when the Father's in the room, the word says He's a consuming fire. Whenever the presence of God is in our gatherings, we catch fire, because our God is a consuming fire. Fire also purifies. If we look at Luke chapter 3:17, John the Baptist is talking about Jesus being the baptizer, the Holy Spirit, and in fire. He says, "He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with His winnowing fork. Then He will clean up the threshing area, gather the wheat into His barn, but the burning chaff with never-ending fire." I think of each of us as a grain of wheat, and I think of that chaff as the things that cover us on the outside that need to be burned off. You know, that purifying work in our life. The Bible talks about walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. And there's things in the flesh nature. There's things in our carnality that keep us from walking in the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I see this baptism of fire as one of those things that it deals with our flesh nature. It deals with those things that maybe have bound us, or our carnality, those things we keep turning to that hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we get close to the fire of God, and those things have to go away. I mean, just in the presence of Jesus, we see those things in our life that are hindering our spirit-filled walk. Jesus purifies us of those things. And then something else. Fire brings freedom. And we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3. I'd never thought about it this way. And the Lord, I believe, is, you know, bringing greater freedom even into my life as I go through just more of the fires that I, you know, have had to walk through in the past few months. This is a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know what happened to them? They refused to bow down and worship the image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. And they said a bold statement. They said, "Our God is able to deliver us, but even if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down." And so King Nebuchadnezzar became mad. And it says the expression on his face changed. And he had them tied up, it says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 21. Says, "So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And the fire was so hot, it burned the soldiers who threw them in. But suddenly, King Nebuchadnezzar looked in, and with amazement, He says, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of God." And so he called out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and out they came. It says in verse 27, "They crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke." You know the only thing that burned when they were in the fire? It was the ropes. Okay? The only thing that burned were the things that had them bound. I love this. If we have to go through the fire with God, it is not going to touch us. The only thing that's going to be lost is the things that bind us. Therefore, the fire will bring us into greater freedom. If we're called to walk through a fiery trial, it's so that God can also free us. And he might have to deal with a King Nebuchadnezzar too. Oh, fire. You know, it's evidence that God is pleased with our sacrifice. And we see this over and over in the Old Testament. We want to touch on Elijah too. Let me make a note of Elijah because I love that story. God is pleased with sacrifices. We see this over and over in the Old Testament where someone lays out a sacrifice and fire falls from heaven. Or like in the story of Gideon in Judges 6, the angel of the Lord touched his sacrifice with his staff. And then it says that fire rose up out of the rock and it consumed the offering. And so when the fire of God touches a person's sacrifice or falls on sacrifice, it's God's way of saying, "I'm pleased with what you've brought to me. I'm pleased with your offering." How that applies to us is when we minister for the Lord, we bring something to him, we do the ministry that we've been assigned to do. How do we know that the Lord is pleased with it? There's fire on it. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God will be there as we minister unto the Lord. That is the evidence that God is pleased with our offering when it is with his presence and with the fire of God. What about Elijah? You know, the prophets of Baal, they set up their altar and their sacrifice, and they leaped all around the altar. They cut themselves. They did this for hours, and nobody answered. No fire fell. And then Elijah, you know, he set out his sacrifice and doused it with water three times over and over. And he prayed a very simple prayer. And the fire fell from heaven and consumed his sacrifice, all the water in the trench. You know, oftentimes the fire of God will help us distinguish who is a true prophet. The fire of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, will help us distinguish which ministry the Lord is blessing and, you know, the direction that we need to go to be in alignment with what God is doing. Okay, so that's the story of Elijah. Now, one of my favorites has to do with the story of Exodus, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They came to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh had one of those "what have I done" moments, and he just decided he was going to send his army out to kill them all. But God separated the Israelites from the Egyptians at the Red Sea with a wall of fire. And it says that the fire was light to the Israelites, but it was darkness to the Egyptians. And oftentimes how we perceive the fire of God depends on what side we're on. If we're right with God and if we're walking in the Spirit and we're in the community of faith that we're supposed to be in, the fire is going to be light to us. It's going to help us to see. It's going to benefit us. If we're not, the fire often will seem like darkness. You know, if like the Egyptians, they were not right with God, so therefore they perceived the fire. It was much scarier for them. And the way to get on the side of light, where fire is actually our friend, the fire of God benefits us and its power to us, It's to walk in right relationship with Him. It is to walk in obedience to Him. It is to lay down our life to, you know, not only to surrender our life and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but also to surrender fully and obey Him in every way He speaks to us. Okay. That is where the fire of God becomes a blessing in our life. And it's nothing to be afraid of. It's actually the power of the Holy Spirit in our life and His presence. The Bible also says that, you know, when the Lord is getting ready to come, and I'm not talking about a second coming, I'm just talking about when the Lord is coming in a new, fresh way, when He's getting ready to do something, it says a fire goes before Him and consumes His enemies. So before the Lord ever gets there, the fire is sent out first to deal with evil. And it will purge, okay, out of His people. It will purge the evil because God's getting ready to come and do something. So just be aware, if you're going through a fire, it means here comes God, okay? It means He's getting ready to do something. And I see that right now. I see that the Lord is sending His fire right now to help purify, to empower people. He's getting ready to move. And that fire is going to ignite many, okay? But He wants us ready. He doesn't want us indifferent to what He's doing right now. He really wants us to have the fire of the Holy Spirit and to burn passionately for Him right now, okay? Because of what is coming and what He's getting ready to do. Man, when He blows on us, when He blows on that coal, man, whew, you know, we just want to go up in a flaming fire of worship and praise to Him. Something that others can draw from, all right? I'm going to burn for Him. So God bless you. I pray that God devours all of your enemies with His consuming fire. That you walk in freedom, walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, burn for Him. Until next time.